tonight to the Upper Frederick Board of Supervisors special meeting for March 21st, 2021. Let's stand and have a pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So everybody's on the same page. This year's, we're just going to do public comment now. While we're doing the interview process, we're not going to be doing public comment during that period, of course. Any public comment at all? Don't zoom in on me, please.
Break my camera.
Oh, real nice.
Aww. Real nice. Off to a good start.
Okay. So first one to be interviewed is Clemens, Richter, and Rice. And we have Miss Vicky Kushto here today.
Where would you like me to go? Stay here, sit there.
Oh, wherever you would like, ma'am.
Better if you could come up.
Yeah, sure. Have a seat.
Sit up front so that, especially because you're on camera.
Oh, right.
On camera.
Jimmy, sit there.
You need to mark someone to zoom in on.
Yes. No, thank you. Is this okay?
Whatever
yes,
you want.
Yes, ma'am. Wherever you're comfortable.
I think what we'll do when we get started is I'll just give you a brief overview of our township, our intention, and as we've been directed, each of the interviewees will receive the same questions. So we will do our best. This is our first time doing this. So anyway, so just to give you a little background, Upper Frederick, as you probably know, is a second-class township with approximately 3,700 residents. It's a three-person board. Two of us are present tonight. We are members of the Central Park Valley Regional Planning Commission, and along with Lower Frederick, Upper Frederick is the two townships are considered the rural share of the CPVRPC, Central Park Valley Regional Planning Commission. We are the rural share. We have a vacant township manager position for employees, and then we have a bookkeeper slash admin, which is Kate, who's present today, and then we have a public works department that's led by a director and three full-time employees. We do have other part-time employees throughout, you know, the seasonal work. Bill and I are both newly elected this year, so we attended PSATs training, and it was actually during our first PSAT session that they suggested that, hey, it's a good time when you are a new supervisor periodically to make sure that you're reviewing your solicitor position. So that's what we're doing here. There was no other reason than just it was recommended that we should probably do that. Throughout that process, we also, since we've been here, also realized that our current solicitor, who is interviewing later this evening, Yerger Daly firm has supported our township for 49 years.
Well,
so just to give you some background on where we are as a township, and who we are. So I will, I don't know if you have an introduction you'd like to do first or if you want us to jump into questions.
Go ahead, you can just jump into questions.
Jump into questions? Okay. Do you want me to start?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, please.
You can catch up.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you describe your strategy for working with municipalities? For example, do you take more of a backseat approach or a more direct approach? And could you explain?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the municipality. Some municipalities need a little bit more help than others, depending on what their staffing situation is. Mm-hmm. So for our firm, we have three municipal solicitors. We all work in a group. We all handle and share work and cover for each other when's needed. For example, some of the municipalities that we have represented, we represented Warrington. Large township, second class also, but a lot of staff. So they had a little bit of less of a need because they had a lot of staff who could handle internal and everyday, day-to-day things. We also represent Wrightstown, surprisingly, for about 45 years now, also similar to your solicitor here. And they're a much smaller municipality like you are, and they have a majority of part-time staff. So when it comes to certain things, they need a little more help. So it entirely depends on the needs of the township and the manager and what the supervisors would like.
So what types of things do you help a smaller township with when you say types of things? Like what would you step in to do that a larger township can do on their own?
So going back to Wrightstown, just using them as an example, they, when they get plans in, either applications, conditional use applications, subdivision and land development plans, I will walk them through that entire process. So they contact me the day that it comes in. I provide them with all the information regarding deadlines, regarding when decisions have to be made. I track all of that for them, where in a larger municipality like Warrington, they have a whole zoning division that does that on their own, and then they bring us in when they're ready. So it just depends, like I said, on the needs of the township. That's just one example.
Okay, great. That's a good one, especially in this township, because we don't have any specialists in planning issues.
Sure.
Okay, great. What are some of your biggest challenges that you have experienced working with municipalities?
I think we talked a little bit about that before the meeting even started. One of the biggest challenges is the way that municipalities work and the way that just government in general works. As we were talking about offline, it's not a fast process. It's a, you know, everything has to be done at a public meeting, all decisions have to be voted on by a majority of the board, and there's a lot of public bidding that needs to take place for certain projects if you're over certain limits. So some of that is part of what I would say. Also, sometimes it's an inability to communicate as well with residents as you would like to. So something else that we were talking about offline was you guys are looking into potentially broadcasting your meetings, which I think is a great thing. When members of the township can watch the meetings and see what's happening, it's better for them because they can be more involved, they know what's happening. And I know in some of our townships too, they also make those videos available. Like if they have a cable channel, they'll rebroadcast the meetings, not only when they're happening live, but there'll be a schedule where they'll be replayed. Or some townships have the meetings available on their website, so you can go on and you can watch the meeting at any time, so that if this wasn't a convenient time for the members of your public, they would be able to watch it at a later time.
Great. Can you provide, so based on some of those big challenges, can you provide an example of how you've dealt with the challenge and how you advise the township, like a specific example?
Sure. So, trying to think of a good one. So for outreach, we weren't directly involved, but I'm just going back obviously to the townships that I have represented, but some of them do newsletters, which also helps to get word out to the public about what's going on, which I think is a very good thing. We've contributed articles in the past to that newsletter about items that the township thought would be of interest to residents that were more on the legal side. Mm-hmm. Explaining things at meetings, that I would say that type of thing.
Okay. Great. Do you currently support a township similar to Upper Frederick, surrounding Upper Frederick, and in Montgomery County? So it's a kind of a three-part question.
Sure.
We'll start with similar size to Upper Frederick. I know you mentioned Wrightstown.
Yes,
that's similar. That's a three-person board.
That's probably the most similar is Wrightstown. We also represent Haycock Township and Springfield Township. We don't represent anybody surrounding you. And currently, we don't represent any other municipalities in Montgomery County.
Okay. Are you looking to support someone in Monco? Is that why we're of interest to you if you don't normally support in Montgomery County?
Any municipality in the four county area is interesting to me if they're looking for a solicitor.
Okay.
So I'm originally, and I still live in Delaware County. When I started out in the legal field 22 years ago now, I represented municipalities in Delaware and Chester County. And then when I left that position, I came out here to Bucks. And I've been representing municipalities out here in Bucks, but I do still have a municipality down in Chester County that I represent the zoning hearing board. So really anything in the four county area is of interest to me. Municipal law is the only kind of law I've ever practiced, so it might sound weird, but this interests me.
Yeah. Okay, great. Do you you want to ask next questions, or you want to just keep going?
No, you keep on going. You're doing great. We all have the same questions, so either I can read or you can read. But I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I just
same answer.
Yeah.
Okay. We would like to limit development here, since we're a rural township.
Sure.
Can you provide an example where you have successfully guided a municipality in this direction?
Sure. So I guess one of the best ways, well, I could give you kind of two examples. So down in Wrightstown, we're actually part of, we have a joint zoning ordinance between Wrightstown, Upper Mayfield, and Newtown Township. So, and I actually, the solicitor for that jointure rotates, and this happens to be my turn. I'm currently the solicitor for that jointure as well. So that is actually one of the ways that we have limited development, in that Wrightstown, being rural, took, they had existing quarries, and they kept the quarries. And bigger development and higher density went into the other two townships as part of that arrangement.
Okay, and that was Lower Makefield?
It's Lower Make, it's Newtown, and it's Wrightstown.
I just live in Lower Makefield.
So. Okay. So, and in Warrington, we did a what we called a conservation residential ordinance, which limited the development that was allowed. So we required new developments that were interested in using that feature to preserve 65% open space. And then they were able to build on the rest of it, but then there were additional incentives that were given in the ordinance, like preserving forest lands, preserving historic resources that allowed them to potentially get, bonus density, but we were able to save a good portion and preserve a good portion of the township that way by concentrating the development and requiring them to reserve so much open space.
Did you say there was a plan name for it? I'm sorry, you said in the plan. Required new development in the plan. Was there a plan name?
I may have just meant in the development plan. It was a zoning ordinance. That was an amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Okay. What ordinance is that?
In Warrington, it was their zoning ordinance. It was called a conservation residential subdivision. And they did it in their agricultural areas. In their agricultural zoning areas. They also had a program down there that we came in once it was already in place called transferable development rights, where the whole point was to sell rights to preserve property and transfer those development rights onto other areas of the township so that you, again, to concentrate development in one particular area and encourage other areas to be preserved.
Okay. How would you approach reviewing our ordinances in order to minimize the risk of development?
So the best way would be to take a look, obviously, what you have existing now, what the existing zoning ordinances are. There would also be opportunities. You're part of this planning commission. Do they review ordinances and make recommendations or provide model ordinances? That's another good resource. We worked recently with, in Bucks County, the Bucks County Planning Commission, to completely redo Warrington's zoning and subdivision and land development ordinance. They came on as a consultant. We had meetings that were open to the public where we reviewed the ordinance as a whole and came up with a new ordinance that works a lot better. So, there's always areas that can use help and can use improvement.
Well, question number three, you said you had done that work for in Warrington Down. What year was that, do you know?
Which one? The conservation residential?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to estimate maybe 2020, and I'm sorry if that's not the exact year.
Right. It wasn't 20 years ago.
No. I've been out in Bucks County for, this is my eighth year now. So before that, I wouldn't have represented Warrington because I wasn't out here.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Right along the page,
sure.
What types of labor and personnel issues have you had to negotiate, and can you tell us about an experience?
Sure. So we have worked on personnel policies for our municipalities. I have assisted them both with heart and lung claims, as well for they have police departments, heart and lung claims, yeah, as well as workers' compensation claims. Internal disputes, we have been brought in sometimes when there was recommendations needed with regard to perhaps how staff should be, you know, what level they should be at, who, that sort of thing. Interior staffing issues, I guess, is the best way to describe it. I'm trying to think. Those are probably some of the best examples. Usually, like personnel policies, there's another gentleman in our office who he gets the unlikable job when someone needs to be terminated, of being the one who has to give them that information. So I can't tell you that that's me, but we do have someone in our office who does that.
Can you give an example or explain how you handle hot or emotional discussions in township meetings?
Sure.
Why are you laughing?
I'm assuming there's been that experience here before.
Just a couple of times.
Sure. So it typically depends on whether we're expected to take the lead on that or whether the township manager handles that. I find that a lot of interactions with residents is just listening to people, and not necessarily, you don't necessarily need to form or express an opinion at that point. Sometimes it requires actual, you know, taking it back and thinking it over and coming up with a good solution, possibly, that either if it's two residents who aren't getting along, trying to sort of mediate between the two of them. If it's a complaint about something that the township has done, sometimes it's just that there's information that needs to be shared with the residents that they don't necessarily understand what the process was or how the decision became arrived at. So certainly, you know, talking to residents, making more information available is one way to help address it.
Okay. Have you ever experienced where you've had to step in, like in a actual meeting, because there was yelling, or
yes,
we just use the gavel and tell people.
Yes, so
to pipe down.
Yes, and in actuality, in some of our municipalities where there were police departments, we've had police officers attend meetings in case there was an issue. We have a township that has panic buttons behind, underneath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had a zoning hearing board meeting where a resident challenged our chairperson, and we had to defuse the situation so that it didn't go any further. So, yes, unfortunately, yes, I have dealt with that previously.
Okay.
And just as an aside, there's, unfortunately, with things going on now, as you know, in another part of the state, there was a shooting at a township building. Mm-hmm. One of my townships, everyone who worked there, including the consultants, the engineer, the attorneys, we actually attended active shooter training to learn how to deal with something like that should somebody come into the township with a weapon.
Okay.
When was that?
The active shooter training?
No, the shooting itself.
I don't remember what it was. It was a couple years ago, though. Someone went into a township building and unfortunately started shooting, and that's when we, you know, at least one of our townships got bulletproof glass all the way around the entryway. We got ballistic and bulletproof in the dais where they sat so that they would be better protected. We had a whole inventory done by the police to determine where we could be better, have better safety.
Okay.
This is a pretty generic question, but what is your experience with historical buildings?
Historical buildings. So I've represented at least one township in the past that had their own historic district. Not too much, except for, I would say, preservation, just it having ordinances that actively encourage historic preservation. We do have some historic resources, again, down in Wrightstown. We have a library. We just recently preserved an octagonal school, and we're working on bids to have a new roof put on because it's actually an old cedar-shaped roof, and they want it to be authentic to the building itself. So we're going through, I'm helping the engineer go through that bidding process, and fortunately we didn't get any bids, but...
Something I just learned, it's not very easy to get historical funding.
No, not to get funding, and also originally it was recommended, so for that example, originally it was recommended that we have somebody, there's apparently like a Cedar Shake Society, mm-hmm. and there are contractors who belong to it, and they recommended that we only use contractors that belong to it, but we reached out to all of them, and no one was interested in bidding. So I think that's going to be one of the things that ends up coming out of the bid, is that they have to be a member of that organization.
Yeah, I just spoke with a gentleman who talked about doing that Cedar Shake shingle on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
He said that alone was the most expensive upkeep, and now there's a metal roof on the building.
Yeah.
Said, but they fought for it, just like you said, and
yeah.
then once he got it, he was like, it was just too much.
Right.
So now they put a metal roof on there. So yeah, that's funny.
Well, my fingers are crossed for them that they don't find that it's too much and that they can actually do it so that it stays.
It's the maintenance.
It keeps the historic nature of it.
Sure.
So.
Can you provide an example of dealing with a difficult code enforcement issue and how you guided the township towards resolution?
Sure. So let me think of a couple examples. Code enforcement, we actually have one going on now that has to do with what we would consider a mobile sign, which is a big landscaping truck that is sitting in a business right now with its name all over it that we cited. It went to the Court of Common Pleas, and they found in favor of the township. It's now at the Commonwealth Court, and we're just waiting for a briefing schedule on that. I think that we had one of the biggest issues, I think, in code enforcement that's coming out these days, and this was actually a number of years ago, is residents that sometimes have hoarding situations. Mm-hmm. And in that case, we had to post the property, unfortunately, was completely uninhabitable. And we helped the resident to get resources. We contacted the county. We had to get dumpsters in order to get some of the stuff out of there. And hopefully, in the end, the resident was able to go back into the home, and hopefully it didn't get that way again. But that's kind of the biggest extreme that I can think of.
Okay. Great. What types of ethical minefields would you advise us to avoid, and are there best practices?
Ethical minefields,
yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the best practices for township supervisors is to be careful to stay neutral, to not provide opinions in public, especially if you have applications that are going to be coming before you, to be upfront if you do have a conflict, to disclose it, you know, immediately, to not participate in any voting if there is an issue or something that you're connected with. To remember to fill out your ethical forms every year that we have to file, our financial disclosure forms that are important, and to be aware of the Ethics Act that's out there for municipal officials, and to be aware of what your responsibilities are under that act.
Okay. Great.
Have you guys ever had any ethic problems?
No, I mean, we've had some conflicts that have had to have been disclosed, but we've never come across anything where either an official didn't file the right disclosure or was actually receiving a benefit from someone who came before them or anything like that, no.
Can you provide an example when you had to deliver bad news to a township?
Oh, sure. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there are ways in which townships want to proceed to do things. Maybe it's through a faster channel because it's something that needs to get done. So sometimes you have to tell townships that they have to stop and slow down. You can't just, you know, go out and get a contractor to potentially do this work because it may be over the bidding limit or it may be within the telephonic price quotations. So, you know, they won't have to slow down if it's not a true emergency and follow the proper procedure to get the bids and stuff that they would like. Certainly, sometimes there's fights that they can't win. you might get into, I guess, I would say, a situation where they, in your zoning ordinance, you have, let's just say, for example, things that are permitted by conditional use. Mm-hmm. And it might be something that is in the back of your mind because maybe nobody's ever come in and applied for that kind of use. And maybe it's not really a use that you want. But if it's permitted under your zoning ordinance, and if you don't have any other valid reasons to deny it, then that could potentially be bad news that this is something that, you know, you're gonna have to approve, or you're gonna face a long legal battle in the court system to try to uphold what it is that you're looking to do.
Okay. Last two questions are pretty easy. Is there someone?
Yeah, that's Tom. He's the next guy.
Thank you, nice to see you.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Small world.
We just have a couple more questions if you want to step out.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
I'll come out and get you, Tom, when it's your turn.
You're the Because we are on the last one. They're super easy questions.
As you can see, the municipal world is relatively small. Yeah. So most of us know each other.
You work with Tom?
I work with Tom. So Tom was our zoning hearing board solicitor in Warrington. He's our zoning hearing board solicitor in Wrightstown. And actually, he was the zoning hearing board solicitor in Warwick Township, and he ended up with a conflict, so they ended up hiring me to come in as their new zoning hearing board solicitor. So we worked together a lot.
And I don't know if we would put this in an agreement or not, but what is your normal turnaround time for returning calls, emails, questions of that nature? If we have to reach out to you with a question, is there a normal turnaround time that we would expect to hear from you to have a discussion? Because I know you'd probably have to ask more questions or say, what exactly do you need, that type of thing.
Sure. So we consider ourselves to be very responsive. We all have cell phones. I have email on my cell phone, whether I'm working in the office or whether I'm working from home. If you were to call the office, they would put you in touch with me. I generally call everybody back with it. I don't want to, you know, definitely by the end of the day, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because there's a potential that I could be in a meeting or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah.
But, and we respond to emails as quickly as possible. It would just depend on the nature. If it's something that I need to do some research on, I might choose you a quick email back that says, I've received your email, let me look into this a little further, or, but you could expect to hear from me in a relatively short amount of time.
Okay. Great.
And we give all of our clients our personal cell phones.
Okay.
So you would be able to contact me on my cell phone also.
Great. And then lastly, and I know this is probably in your agreement, but I just want to make sure that I ask everybody, how long would your commute be to this township building, and do you charge for your travel time?
So that would depend actually on the agreement. So in most cases, we do charge travel time. Usually it's closer, obviously, to our office than you are. The commute, it took me about 50 minutes to get here from the
50?
Office. Yeah,
50,
to get here
yeah.
from the office today. I don't know what it would take me to get from home. I didn't Google it. Now, that was also at rush hour. But so if the township said, don't charge us for your commute time, I wouldn't charge you for our commute time. For my township down in Chester County that I work for, one of their conditions was you have to charge us as if you were coming from Westchester because that's our county seat. So I only charge them the travel time from what would have been their county seat down to where their meeting location is.
Okay. Great.
Sure, I'm flexible on that. Because I recognize, too, that I don't, you know, I don't live in the county.
Right.
So.
Sure.
Well, but I drive everywhere, so.
Well, I mean, it's just our overall when looking at rates, you know, if you're driving 2 hours and you're charging us
sure.
4 hours round trip.
Right.
On top of, and is your travel rate different than your
no.
normal hourly rate? It's the same.
It's the same.
Same rate. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else, Bill? That was my last question.
No.
Our last
Perfect.
Question. I'm conscientious of time. I have 4 seconds left.
4 seconds? Oh, boy. Okay, well.
It's absolutely fun. I don't have anything to put. Like I said, these are all the same questions either
sure.
I can answer or Miss Lisa can. I'm perfectly
okay.
going to get the same answer out of you either way, so that doesn't matter to me.
Well, and hopefully I gave you a little bit of the background as we were talking and answering
yeah,
questions.
That
was great. Sort of right up front. It's always a little weird when people ask you to talk about yourself.
Absolutely. No, I mean, understand.
But I know the other attorneys that you're going to interview, and they're everybody that you're going to see is extremely capable. They're all good attorneys, and we all work well together in any capacity. And obviously, I hope you'll pick us. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But you'll be in good hands, I know, from the list that you have that I saw on the meeting tonight. So,
I appreciate that.
Thank you for your time, Vicki. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much. It was a pleasure meeting you. On my way out, I'll let Tom know that it's his turn.
Please.
In the spotlight.
You can say next. Thank you.
Thank you.
How you doing, Mr. Jones?
Good, good. I see we're missing Sean tonight.
Yeah.
SHTO. Yeah.
A little disappointed, yeah, to say the least.
You are, thank you. Your turn in the hot seat.
Blame Miss Kate. She's a little bit. I don't know if you heard that. She does bite, and it's hard.
Yeah.
She's chomping on the bit to get out of here, too. She's headed to Jamaica. Day, right?
What? You go on another vacation? We got to look into the pay scale, Ronnie.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Panzer. Nice to meet you. You are welcome to have a seat.
All right. Thank you.
I know these are back to back, so we're trying to be super conscientious of your time and everyone else's time.
I brought material, which you probably have received.
I do. Have.
I do, yes, sir.
Got everything?
Yes, sir, I do.
I have everything.
Anyone else care for some material?
There you go.
About the
photo? Want to read? This here's an attorney in training, I think, this one here. She's working towards something. She's been here the last couple of meetings, I'll tell you.
Local government is riveting.
It is the one thing I've learned after coming out of the corporate world. Townships move very slowly.
Yes.
There's nothing fast here.
Yeah.
Some is by design, and some is... bureaucracy.
Yes, it's been a good learning experience. So,
Mr. Panzer, my name is Bill Lamb, and this is Ms. Fisher. She's going to ask you all the questions only because she's going to ask you all the questions. Either I can read them or she can read them, but she's good at it, so I don't mind letting her go here.
So I think just to get us started, I'll give you a brief introduction. All interviewees are being treated the exact same as we've been instructed that that's the best thing to do, most important. And we are video recorded, so, I guess if we step out of bounds, someone else will know it. So we will stay in the bounds. So just as an introduction, Upper Frederick is a second-class township. We have approximately 3,700 residents. We are a three-person board. Two of us are here and present tonight. We are a member of the Central Perk Valley Regional Planning Commission. And along with Lower Frederick, who is also a member, the two of our townships are considered to be the rural share. So we do believe we like to keep our, I think most of us want to keep our township rural and follow suit. We have a vacant township manager position that became vacant in February. Kate, who is present, is our bookkeeper and administrator. We also have a public works director with three direct full-time reports. And we do have some part-time, seasonal help, I believe. Two of the three of us, which are the two that are present, Bill and I, are newly elected supervisors. So the reason we are here today is we learned in our very first PSATs class that it's a good thing to review your solicitors every few years. And as I found interesting is that Ken, who's our current solicitor with Yergi Daler has been our solicitor since 1975. So 49 years we've had the same solicitor, and I'm sure there's benefits to that as well as probably some detriments as far as having the same person always representing. So that is our little introduction about our township. Is there anything that you would like to say before we dive into questions?
Congratulations and welcome to the board.
Thank
Welcome to your turn in the barrel.
Yeah. As I have learned, I make just under a dollar an hour, I think.
Don't keep track.
No.
I'm disappointed to hear that. It means I'm working more than her, because I figured that'd be 14 cents an hour.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah.
He seems to do a lot of research. Okay, so I'll start off right away with questions. Describe your strategy for working with municipalities. For example, do you take more of a backseat approach or more of a direct approach? And can you explain?
Right, so I'm a partner in a fairly good-sized suburban firm, High Swartz. We have a very strong municipal group. But I believe the approach to take with a municipality, when representing a municipality, is every board has a personality, every township has a protocol. So I would say I am more responsive than proactive. It's I don't view my role as a solicitor as one to put my stamp on Upper Frederick Township. It's my role to support and assist the policymakers and administration in the exercise of good government. So my philosophy in doing that is, number one, when it comes to the public, I believe in open and the overused word transparent government. I believe in public comment. I believe in public input. It's the public's government. It's the public's board. As the public will remind you, we put you there. We put you in. We can take you out.
Yeah.
Right? So that's my approach.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that a municipality does better with consistency. That doesn't mean you don't review your professionals and assess the job they're doing, but when a township needs good leadership, and right now, without a manager, my first suggestion, if I'm an advisor to the board, is better find a manager. You need somebody to run the shop. And there are different ways to do that. There are a number of municipalities right now that are looking for managers, and there are a number of journeyman type managers who do short-term stints. And I actually have the name of a headhunter to offline who would be happy to help you fill the needs for Upper Frederick Township. With that said, I also believe that communication is important. So whoever is setting the agenda, whoever is establishing the goals and objectives for the township, I need to be in communication with in order to assure that to get from point A to point C, we are checking all the correct boxes from a legal standpoint, complying with the myriad statutes that govern all of our behaviors as municipal officials. Second class township code, municipal planning code, the Sunshine Act, right to know law, all of the HR, the human resources statutes. So being a municipal solicitor is serving as the general counsel to the municipality, and it's a more complicated role than I think a lot of folks give it credit. But it's enjoyable, and it's nice to participate in local government. So there are a number of resources out there for elected officials, for staff, for municipal attorneys, and once the board sets policy or raises an issue, our stated budget support the board in advancing their decision.
Okay, great. What are some of your biggest challenges that you've experienced working with municipalities? Or even if you just have one, you don't have to.
Well, yeah.
What's your biggest
people.
Challenge? It's, yeah.
People.
Okay.
As the solicitor, I have the benefit of not being a policymaker, and many of the public's comments, positive and negative, are usually regarding policy or minor administrative issues that affect them in a major way. Streets, trash, various things. So the challenge for the solicitor is often navigating the people in charge. The whether the board is cohesive, not cohesive, whether administration is communicating well with the board and vice versa. They're usually an appropriate chain of command being followed by a municipality. Effective organization leads to effective implementation of the objectives. So when you get a good manager in place and the board comes up with policies that they want to advance, when the team works together, the objectives get achieved. Mm-hmm. So the difficult aspect, the challenge for the municipal solicitor would be operating in an environment where there isn't harmony.
Where there isn't what?
Harmony.
Harmony.
Fun fact, I would say I deal in more municipalities where there's a lack of harmony. So it's kind of part of the business.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I can see that. Mm-hmm. It seems like I understand it. Can you provide an example how you've dealt with that challenge and how you advised the township? And maybe using harmony is a good one because that is something that, you know.
So,
is relevant, I think.
The best way to approach that issue, in my opinion, is that everyone is treated with the same amount of respect. Every supervisor is an equally elected supervisor. They have an equal voice. And action by the Board of Supervisors requires a majority. So you can't get there without two. Mm-hmm. Here in Upper Frederick Township.
Right.
The way to navigate a inharmonious environment is simply to stick to the facts, go about the business. If the policy of the Board of Supervisors is to do X, staff is to implement X, professionals, your lawyer, your engineer, your other professionals are to support X. And if people stick to those very basic principles, then the township moves forward, and it's going to move forward anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, does it move forward smoothly and efficiently, or does it take the circuitous route?
Right. Okay. Great. Do you currently support a township similar to Upper Frederick, surrounding Upper Frederick, or in Montgomery County? So it's a three-part. First is similar size to us, 3,700, three-man board.
So I personally do not. I have represented as the primary boroughs that might be close in population to Upper Frederick, but not a township.
Okay.
I personally do not represent any municipalities that are adjacent to Upper Frederick, but one of the team I identified in my proposal, Matt Hubby, is an attorney in our Norristown office. I call Doylestown my home base, Doylestown, Bucks County. So Matt represents multiple municipalities in this area, and I don't know if they're adjacent to Upper Frederick or not.
Okay.
So I represent a large number of zoning hearing boards, which is a whole different municipal beast of a probably simpler nature, because the zoning hearing board is of a limited scope of jurisdiction. It's more like a mini trial every time you have a zoning hearing, whereas your public meetings are much more business centric and dealing with the public. So I represent a lot of boards in a lot of public forums. I wouldn't say I represent anything quite like Upper Frederick Township. So it was this size, adjacent to, what was the third part?
In Montcalm. Okay.
Yeah, I personally don't call any municipality in Monaco a client where I'm the primary.
Where you're primary. But Matt Hubby does,
and Gil High does. I consider Gil High of High Swartz, and the High in High Swartz isn't Gil, but his grandfather. So it's Gil's grandfather and his father, and then Gil. Gil is like the dean of municipal law. He's an incredible role model and an incredible leader of our municipal group, and just a bastion of knowledge. So he's a great resource. But the firm represents municipalities in Bucks, Montco, Lehigh, and or Northampton, maybe some in Chester. So we are truly a regional law firm, and we have a regional municipal presence as well.
Okay, great. We would like to go ahead.
No, but you do. It's Pottstown, Lower Merion,
Upper Dublin,
Macungie. So you are in Montgomery County.
Yeah, that's right.
He personally
does, but Matt Hubby does.
Okay, yeah. I was just thinking, I'm looking at the, I'm going to say, I could have sworn when I read this, your firm was in Montgomery County.
So our firm is based in Norristown.
Right.
And we are known as the Montgomery County firm for years. 2016. High Swartz merged with my law firm, which was a smaller suburban law firm that did a lot of municipal and zoning work. So we merged with High Swartz as Mathematical and Panzer, and my partners and I had done municipal work for decades, and they were aging out, so I happened to be the young guy, imagine that. And we merged with High Swartz. And so now we are essentially the Bucks County hub for the regional law firm.
Okay, great. So we would like to limit development in our rural community. Can you provide an example where you've successfully guided a municipality in this direction?
Yes. Let me answer by saying there are processes. Start with the fundamental premise that property owners have constitutional right to use their property and not have their property taken. So that's the starting point. But the countervailing interest is the municipality's right, as delegated from the Commonwealth, to manage land use. And there are both zoning overlays for dimensional and use limitations or allowances. And then there's the processes, the land development process going through the planning commission, board of supervisors, the county, all the agency reviews. My experience, especially most recently, was in a conditional use hearing, and I'll just say that when the municipality takes a position on an issue, and conditional use hearing is like a zoning hearing, but by the municipal leaders. So certain uses allowed by conditional use. If the township takes a position, the township can actually be a party in the trial. So the trial is the conditional use hearing. We represented a township and a special counsel and essentially prosecuted the case where a large-scale retailer who likes a certain type of store and lots of gas pumps and bright lights and lots of signs wanted to locate on a very prominent corner, and the Board of Supervisors hired us to defeat them in their effort. And we were successful not only at the Zoning Hearing Board level, but actually we got it reversed at the Common Pleas level and then won it back at the Commonwealth Court level. So that was an example of a municipality taking a position. We supported the position through essentially litigation and then prevailed, and the township's policy decision was affirmed.
Okay, great.
But there are other ways too. So, mm-hmm. Absent litigation, because litigation isn't always the way.
Right.
The township has ordinances and standards for land use review, and those the township is not without some leverage in the land development process. So if it's an outright ban, then it needs to be appropriate. There's fair share, there's different types of uses. The Pennsylvania Bar Institute used to have CLEs, continuing legal education credit courses, and they would call them popular or locally unpopular land uses. So I'm not going to name them, but the land uses that people just didn't want to see in their municipality. And frankly, some are protected by federal law. And so the municipality needs to take an educated approach on how they mitigate the amount of development. And when outright prohibition is not possible, then mitigation. And there are mechanisms and ordinances that will help you do that. And part of the policy of the board, if the policy is to limit or reduce the amount of influx development, whether it be residential, commercial, industrial, would be to take a look at those ordinances and the comprehensive plan is essentially the roadmap, and then all the ordinances that follow are the support or tools to follow the roadmap. So you probably want to start with, does our comprehensive plan match our vision?
Okay. Yeah, our next question was related to how would you approach reviewing our ordinances in order to minimize the risk of development, which I think plays off of saying review the comprehensive plan and make sure that there's some, that that's the direction and the vision you still want to go, right?
I mean,
so the comp plan should be reviewed.
Yes.
And
there's a standard is a minimum every 10 years. And there are great resources at the county level for comprehensive plan review. It's a process, but it's an important process, and it's best effectuated with buy-in from your involved citizens, so your planning commission, your other volunteer, your recreation boards, civic groups, whoever you can get to provide input, and as policymakers, you're kind of driving the question of where do we want to see Upper Frederick in the next 10 years or through the next 10 years. Okay. And then there are plenty of professional resources to help you prepare that ultimate document, comprehensive plan, and then when someone comes in with a land use that they'd like to locate Upper Frederick Township, the first question in my mind is, does it fit the plan? Is it zoned for that? If it's not zoned for that and doesn't fit the plan, then at first blush, kind of looks like no. And then there could go any direction from that.
Okay.
You're well versed with something like that, Mr. Panis, you're like reviewing all those. So someone comes in and says, I want to put this here. You're completely confident in your ability to review all this and with the comp plan.
So that's something that I do just about daily. Usually the township has someone on staff who's in the either licensing and inspections department, building department, or the zoning planning department, who will accept applications or phone calls regarding the interest in doing something here in Upper Frederick Township, and your staff would typically deal with that. When they get stuck, they would reach out to the lifeline, which could be the lawyer or it could be your engineer, depending on how you have it set up and what the working relationship is.
Well, that's a concern of ours. Like we said, we're working down that avenue now as far as the professionals. We're trying to put everybody in place to accomplish this objective. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what our comprehensive plan says we want to do here, stay rural. So in your day-to-day, this is something that's 90% of your work is dealing with. Yes. Land development and things like that.
Right, looking through the zoning ordinance and or the building codes, depending on what the nature of the question is, reviewing comprehensive plans, I do that daily.
Okay.
We are tight on time. So if you don't mind, if I just jump to, can you provide an example of dealing with difficult code enforcement issue and how it was guided to resolution? We're just experiencing a few of those now.
Yeah. I have an example, but it's not one that you want to hear. Let me think of a good one.
Would you have a standard protocol for dealing with code enforcement?
So the key,
process, yeah.
The key in my mind for code enforcement is consistency. Be consistent. I have represented municipalities where there was inconsistency in the frontline folks, the zoning officers, the building code enforcement people, and in any level of municipal government, I believe consistency is paramount because people should know when they come into a township what to expect. I'm coming up with Frederick Township. I better have all my I's dotted and T's crossed because they have a checklist and I need to comply with everything on the list or I go home and come back another day. difficult building code issues so frequently, I would say frequently, someone will come into a public meeting and say, hey, did you see what's going on down at the corner of, you know, 5th and Vine? No, what's going on? Oh, this, that, and the other thing. All right, we'll look at it tomorrow. The manager, the code enforcement officer, goes out, checks it out. And then, you know, knock, knock, knock. Property owner, looks like you're doing X, Y, and Z. That's not a permitted. Come on in and let's look at the ordinance together. Let's look, fill out this application. And so I think having documentation, a process, and a consistent approach are the keys to handling code enforcement issues.
Okay.
You know, whether it's retroactively or prospectively.
Okay. And then I think lastly is, do you have experience with historical buildings and working through either
yes.
identifying it's historical, making it, you know, and et cetera?
So, yes, not identifying. There are plenty of people out in the world who are expert at that. I rely on
Yeah, I didn't really mean to identify.
That's all right.
What do you have to
maybe,
do from a legal
did.
Perspective of pursuing and...
I've never taken a building from building on the corner to on the National Register.
Okay.
I dare say that that if I reached out to Gil High, he would give me the roadmap immediately.
Yeah.
that's not an everyday occurrence in my mind for a municipal solicitor. But if it's
yeah,
important to Dr. Frederick, it's important to me.
Yeah. Do you have anything on this that you want to hit on?
Mine was just the, you know, ethics. You know, you touched on that. Have you ever had any ethics violations or have a client that ever had?
No, yeah.
Okay. And then it was
Did
just...
Did you say no?
Yeah, I said no and no.
You've never had a client?
He's never had one. He's never
oh, okay.
had a client that had one.
Wow.
Is what he would say. And then it was just, you know, the sunshine, the ethics, like you're up on all that.
Yes.
Okay. And then it was just, you know, the zoning, working with the professionals, land development, things like that. And I think you had said that going through the zoning and things like that is how you would help us move forward here. Okay.
I can and I will.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll encourage you to get a manager.
Can I? We do.
Got that message.
Yeah.
Not just from you.
And then how long is your commute to Upper Frederick, and do you charge for travel time? I do believe your agreement says you do charge for travel time.
Yeah. So we have, my primary base of operations is Doylestown. We do have the Norristown office. The my proposal included half of the hourly rate for travel. So if I come out here for a meeting once a week, I would charge for half the travel. If it takes me 2 hours, you'd build an hour.
Okay. Okay. And then you had a blended rate in your agreement.
Right.
Of 205. So is that the rate you're talking about, or it would be your personal rate? Because your rate is higher than others. It's the 205. Okay, great.
The other rates were
yep, that's
by
right.
comparison.
Awesome. Your time.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your time.
I enjoyed being here. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for coming, Tom.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Have a good night.
You too.
Is Ken out?
Yeah,
okay. Is this riveting?
Mm-hmm.
Is this worth missing your evening at home?
Maybe what I could be doing,
What?
You could be making a toga.
You got any questions for these gentlemen, Miss Madeline?
Do you want to be an attorney? You want to be a solicitor for a township?
No. I think she's more than judge. She's the judge, right?
Cross-examining's not a bad route.
Yeah.
I liked that.
They must be. They must know each other.
They hit you with talking.
Oh, they all know each other.
Yeah.
Missing one.
We are missing one. Unable to make it at the last minute.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I saw Jackie.
That's fine. Wherever you want to sit.
Okay.
I'm just spreading out. But if you would like to use this comfy chair, you're welcome to.
Okay.
Well, I guess we don't have any introduction.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Okay.
So is since you're here and I don't know. Look at that, you brought your name. I guess for the sake of transparency, you know, obviously we have a series of questions. We're asking each of the interviewees the same questions. I started off with an introduction. You're going to know the introduction, but to be fair and consistent, so that you hear what I told them, I think is. I'll give you the same introduction. So, as you are aware, Upper Frederick's a second-class township with approximately 3,700 residents and a three-person board. We are a member of the Central Park Valley Regional Planning Committee, and in that committee, along with Lower Frederick, we are the rural share, Lower Frederick and Upper Frederick, related to that planning commission. We have a vacant township manager position. Kate is our full-time bookkeeper and administrator. And then we also have the public works director with three full-time employees and then some part-time seasonal help. Three of us, Bill and I, are both newly elected. The only reason we're going through this process is it was recommended at our first PSATS class that review the professionals that support the township, so every few years. So during that class, we decided that this should be, you know, I had it on my list of things to do. And I discovered during this process that you have been supporting our township for 49 years.
I don't think anyone
knew
personally. That number.
No, not until I saw your, I mean, I'd always heard that, your predecessor had been here a long time, but define a long time to me is a different long time than to Madeline.
I thought
Madeline wasn't even thought of when your Dalers started supporting our township.
I thought they agreed, all they could agree on that it was in excess of 40 years.
Yes,
so 49.
But it's 50 years next year. So. Okay, so Bill has deferred to me to ask all questions. Except unless he has a follow-up question. Is that correct?
That's perfect.
That's just pretty much what we've been doing. would you like an opportunity to say anything, or are you good with me jumping into questions?
Happy with you just jumping in.
Okay, great. Okay, can you describe your strategy for working with municipalities? For example, do you take more of a backseat approach or more direct, and can you explain?
I call it a little bit of both, really. There are municipalities where solicitors, you know, kind of run the show. That is not us. But we don't take way in the back seat. You know, I don't sit here and allow something to happen that would be inappropriate or that could jeopardize, you know, the reputation of the township or get a supervisor in any sort of trouble or make a bad decision. We'll speak up. We jump in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little more proactive, I think, as between the two.
Okay, great. What are some of your biggest challenges that you've experienced with working with municipalities?
We don't have a lot of challenges. I cut my teeth
be candid, in Perkiomen Township, and they are well run. They have a strong township manager, and they're a pretty cohesive bunch. They talk things out. They're very logical. After the elections and they get on the board, it seems like that is all out the window. Everybody's focus is on what are the best interests of the township, you know, and how do we get there. I mean, we don't have a problem with communication. Most people are happy to listen to us and respect our opinions. We represent many municipalities, but not too many. You know, yeah. I'm principally responsible for three. Other members of my township, you know, have a couple. Jamie Ottaviano has two or three. But then in addition to that, some zoning hearing boards, et cetera. Challenges, I guess if there were one, now one comes to mind, is really just keeping up with the law. Oh my goodness, you know, in the very beginning, 30 years ago when I started, you know, there was the MPC and the second class township code, and that was kind of it. Now, you know, so open records and sunshine, not that those are a bad thing, but they're fluid, you know. You think you know what the law is until a case comes down and says, no, that's not what the law meant at all. You know, you have these problems. You know, communicating, having personal opinions, putting them on a website or a Facebook page, you know, can be problematic. It didn't used to be, but, you know, now it is. So I have to say it's just kind of keeping up and knowing everything. The solution is we have a lot of good resources and people with a lot of experience, so we know. But, and I could give you some examples. I mean, a township building project, you know, I wouldn't have known off the top, you know, that, you know, you have to, there's something called the Prevailing Wage Act. There's something called the Separations Act. You have to bill separately, not bill, but bid it out separately, you know, for the electric work, the and the construction part itself, you know, another. And, you know, these are ways municipalities get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. You know, you can't just hire a general contractor.
Can't hire one contractor to do it. You know, there's a whole lot that goes, you know, with the bidding process. A litany of ways to get in trouble, you know, with developers. Just look at your neighbor, New Hanover Township, now looking at a $150 million lawsuit. So it's a minefield. It really is. And it changes.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge.
Great.
But interactions with the people and the public, you know, I think we do okay also. You know, some solicitors are abrasive, you know, they offend the public. I hope that's not the case. We're always conscious of being otherwise. I want to be inclusive. Want to hear opinions. Want to solve people's problems.
Great. Okay. Can you provide an example on how you dealt with a challenge and advise the township? A specific related to that question about your biggest challenges. Do you have a specific example you could share?
One that comes to mind is just code enforcement. You know, we dealt with, you know, what was a many-year problem with someone on Gravel Pike, Route 29. For years, you know, neighbors complained, township supervisors complained, you know, and ultimately landed in my lap pretty early after becoming primarily responsible here. It was the Spillane property. And like is often the case, these property owners are not necessarily, you know, bad people are intending to be, you know, obstinate and whatever. They have other challenges in their life. You know, maybe it's family, maybe it's, you know, mental health issues. Long story short, we ended up in court with them, you know, and because of the way we treated them, you know, we were able to have a pretty amicable resolution. Sometimes those cases wind up, this one did, in district justice court, but then they wind up in common police court and they take on a life of themselves. They're very expensive. They become very, you know, us against them. But I think we resolved that matter in a amicable way. It was not terribly expensive to the township. We have another one now on the burner. I see Mr. Potosa back there. He's got a neighbor who's, you know, with significant property code violations. I think in the last 3 weeks, you know, we've probably gotten more done than has been done in the last 3 years. I think we're on our way. That letter went out today. I have a copy, you know, to Kate. I don't know if you got it yet. We did some digging, and we found out, you know, who the property owner is, and, you know, we're kind of on the ball there.
Nice. Okay.
So code enforcement, you know, is one that brings.
Especially in a small township.
Right.
Like this, we don't have.
Right. And these are things that generally go, you know, unknown. People say, why did the code officer do something about it? Well, a lot of times, you know, I don't, if you're on the code officer lives here, we don't know. Somebody has to inform us. You know, and then again, they're property owners, they have rights too. You know, it's not like you just go in and, you know, clean it up.
Yeah.
So, we've worked our way through those.
There's a three-part question, but it's pretty easy for you guys. Do you currently support a township similar to Upper Frederick, surrounding Upper Frederick, and in Montgomery County?
Yes, and yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So similar to Upper Frederick.
Probably Olney Township is the most comparable.
Okay.
Because they're very rural also.
Yeah.
The entire township is designated as a historic district.
The entire township is? Yes.
Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the only one in the country.
Mm-hmm. First of all.
Interesting.
So again, they're very rural by nature, much like you guys. A lot of agriculture, a lot of open space, a lot of, you know, 10-acre and 50-acre parcels. So yes, that's Berks County, but
and then surrounding Upper Frederick,
Perkiomen.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is part of your regional, regional plan.
Planning. Central Park Valley.
Central Park Valley.
And then, obviously, you have Montcalm.
Correct. That's two.
That's a given, yeah.
Right. In Montgomery County, my firm also represents West Potts Grove, Lower Potts Grove.
That was ZHB.
Yeah, still. That's the ZHB. Multiple, just supervisors. Those are just boards.
Yeah. Okay.
And other authorities, you know, which, you know, can be helpful too. You know, the ZHB stuff I'm not telling you about, it's in our application.
Right.
And the authorities, but, you know, that's just general knowledge, you know, for township. If you're advising a township and the issue of, you know, a water tank or a water plant or a water line, you know, that comes up, you know, I have somebody in the office who's sitting next to every day, you know, that's what he does.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We would like to limit development in our rural community. Provide an example where you have successfully guided a municipality in this direction.
In Perk and in Olney, you know, they're very much the similar thinking as you. You know, the townships that are proactive there, you know, jumped on the riparian corridor bandwagon, the open space, you know, issues, you know, to do things to, you know, limit areas where development can happen. In this township, you know, as in all, I mean, you need a place that's the growth corridor. And it's, you know, on your map there, you know, where it is. And even in this township, you know, we've passed recently or assisted in drafting resolutions and amendments to the zoning ordinance and the stormwater ordinance to bolster them up.
How would you approach reviewing our ordinances in order to minimize the risk of development?
I would probably recommend that you just hire a third-party consultant. They're doing that in Olney. It's been a number of years since they reviewed their zoning ordinance. Most municipalities use an ordinance for zoning that was originally crafted by Montgomery County. Most of the ordinances were the same or similar. But, you know, they all have evolved a little bit, and most of them have not been periodically reviewed and updated. There are third-party companies that do that. We've narrowed down to two or three in Olney because they're going to review their zoning ordinance and try to provide for and make sure that they're, you know, kind of out in front of warehouses, mini houses, you know, small homes, solar, you know, yards, you know, for grid size, grid scale, you know, solar projects. Airbnbs, you know, temporary short-term rentals, you know, all those things, you know, are out there. And it's, again, kind of hard to stay ahead of.
It goes back to your original comment about laws changing. Everything changes.
These are all things, right?
And then your ordinances may not have covered solar panels if they haven't been updated in 20 or 30 years.
Telecommunications.
Right.
Telecommunications.
I forgot smoke shops.
Smoke shops, vape.
Okay. moving right along to page two. What types of labor personnel issues have you had to negotiate, and can you tell us about any of your experiences or a single experience?
We negotiate contracts, you know, for managers. Sometimes there are employees of the, who are supervisors of the township. You know, we'll put that in writing also. I think fortunately in your township, my experience with, say, police, you know, contracts and so forth is limited and ancient almost, but you don't have a police department here, so you know, wouldn't be a handicap really.
Yeah.
We have also referred to third parties whose specialty is dealing with employee issues. Most of the time your insurance carrier, you know, if there were a lawsuit or a claim, you know, on behalf of the employee, you know, against the township, the township would pick somebody, or we'd put you in the direction of someone that handles, you know, employee you know, grievances and complaints.
Okay.
So we do it a little bit, you know, initially until we reached a point where we have to bring in somebody else. It would depend on the claim, etc. We're also in a township where they tried to unionize the road crew. You know, so that was, you know, educational and informative. I think at the end of the day, failed by a vote. Again, it was another small municipality. I think there were only seven votes, you know, seven employees in the road crew, but they tried to unionize. So, you know, there's that.
Explain how you have handled a hot or emotional discussion in a township meeting.
Roll the video from a couple of meetings ago. Again, it's philosophically, I think, you know, most people who come to a meeting have a reason for being here. They want to be heard. I don't think the board generally knows everything, you know, so they need to be given a platform, place to express, and it shouldn't be dismissed or dismissive. You know, were I on your side of the table, I don't know that I would just have public comments where at the end it's like, thank you, you know, sit down. If that can be, you know, you can have an engaging conversation, you know, with people, I think you can make progress. Mm-hmm. Now, some people, you know, just want to make a point and that's it, but you know, there should be some follow-up on those things too, some communication with them afterwards. You know, tell us more about why you're complaining about this issue. You know, perhaps, you know, we can do something about it.
Okay.
Or help you do something about it. Or point you in the right direction.
Okay. What is your experience with historical buildings?
In Perkiomen Township, and it, well, only the whole place is historic.
Yeah, that's
fascinating. I'm not kidding you. they have a historical architectural review board. If you want to put new windows in your house and it faces Main Street or is visible from basically any place in the township, you have to go before the review board and use materials that are comparable to what had been used in the past. I mean, they do now allow some plastics and things like that, you know, more modern products, but they have to look like, you know, the originals. And they're very much about saving their buildings. They don't demolish any. They don't have demolished by neglect. You know, they don't let buildings deteriorate like that. We, at the intersection, anyone who drives in east direction from here passes Route 113 and 29. It's a terrible intersection, and it has been for many, many years. And on the corner is a bar, you know, that we spent a lot of time over a lot of years trying to figure out if we could acquire it, tear it down. But again, there's the, you know, State Historical Commission basically considers every building historic. You know, we were not successful in taking down the building, but that was also in part because acquiring the building and demolishing it were going to be very expensive. And then there was no guarantee that it was, they're two PennDOT roads anyway, so there's no expectation that PennDOT was going to do the road anytime soon anyway. Mm. It was just a quagmire, but, you know, from the both sides, you know, learning to how to preserve and protect buildings that should be protected, and, you know, the constraints you have if you want to take down a building,
right.
even though it would improve that intersection. I mean, it's really the only way to improve that intersection, but it still stands. And that's working on it. Don't hold your breath.
The ad comes up at the Central Park Valley meeting.
From the applicant side, I've worked with a number of municipalities in dealing with historic structures. In fact, in Douglasville, there was a very old structure, which was the grandson of one of the very early founders of that area, one of the suites that moved in. So the arrangement that we worked out with the municipalities, they wanted to preserve it. And the Historical Society was very interested in seeing it preserved, so we worked out a way to be able to take it down. And they were able to rebuild it at another location, so the structure's preserved. It's not in the same location. The intersection was improved. It's exactly one of those situations. Sometimes you run into trouble with the state on those types of situations. But, you know, I've had experience dealing with the National Park Service up in the Delaware Water Gap, the National Recreation Area, with structures that my employer at the time owned that was a historic little general store. I'm familiar with it from the applicant side, but also dealing with the municipal side on their goals to mm-hmm. preserve and maintain the integrity of an area that was a little village and had been for over 200 years. So it's, you know, those are things that I've had experience with.
Can you provide an example dealing with a difficult code enforcement issue and how you guided it towards resolution? You probably used that in your example for
covered that one.
Challenges.
Already. And a code.
That was a Spillane property.
Yeah, I mean, that's code enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, we will frequently be called to, you know, if an applicant wants to do something with their property and they don't get a permit, you know, because it doesn't comply with code or zoning, you know, it's not unusual for us to have to then go to the zoning hearing board, represent the interests of the township, you know, so we do that too, and have done that, you know, many times. But the code enforcement, yeah, for how, you know, how Spillane worked out, and I'm optimistic of how we're going to get this southern property, you know, taken care of.
Okay.
And it doesn't stop there. I think Kate and
John
are working on the facts gathering for another mm-hmm. property yet, you know.
Right.
So hopefully we'll get that one, you know, worked through. So,
right.
You know, it's not the strong arm of the township law. It's a combination, you know. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to communicate with the property owners and try to get them to comply, but you know, we will back up, you know, when we say 20 days or else, you know, that we're going to follow up.
Right. Okay, great.
With your permission. You do what you want us to do, but that would be my recommendation.
Can you provide an example of when you had to deliver bad news to the Board of Supervisors or a township?
It doesn't come up much for us. You know, I think if I were to... I think that's why I can't take all the credit. I can't say that's why we're good at what we do. Maybe we're just lucky. But, you know, New Hanover Township, you know, I think thought 700 homes, you know, was too many, and they pushed back too hard. And now they're, you know, stuck with $150 million lawsuit. Upper Pottsgrove Township, you know, is, I presume, you know, doing things in somewhat of a renegade way. They have property that was acquired with open space funds and they want to put the township building there. And it's, you know, it's created significant turmoil in the township. Mm. So, yeah, we consider that bad news. Like, hey, we were on this path and now, you know, we have to go to Montgomery County Court, you know, next week because, you know, we're being sued, you know, because of how this has been handled. You know, so those would be the biggest things, but...
But you don't represent either of
them. We don't represent either of them. And okay. Again, we kind of have, we like it better that our townships kind of fly under the radar. You know, we abide by the rules and treat people. I mean, you're going to get in a situation where it's maybe unavoidable, but I haven't had to deliver. I mean, maybe something like they wanted to acquire property and I negotiated with the seller to see if they would sell and we couldn't come to terms. So I had to tell them, like, you know, we're not going to be able to acquire that property. Or certainly not for what you were willing to pay for it. You know, that would be, you know, bad news. But, yeah, no, we don't.
Okay. What type types of ethical minefields would you advise us to avoid, and what are some best practices?
Yeah, go to all the training. Don't use your personal cell phone and your personal Facebook page, you know, to talk about the township, especially, you know, as an elected official and, you know, rendering your official opinions about things. Mm-hmm. So it's a new, you know, phenomenon that townships are becoming exposed, you know, having to reveal the entirety of your, you know, Facebook page because it's now subject to a right to know request. So be careful there.
That was day one PSAT. That's what they said.
Yeah, you know, be careful not to, you know, violate sunshine law. Promptly answer right to know requests. Do not violate, you know, having a quorum and discussing things amongst yourselves. I mean, again, with a three-member board, two of you, you know, mm-hmm. can't talk at something other than a public meeting, with limited exceptions. You know, and you know, Rich and I were kind of joking about on the way out here how hard that is, right? I mean, even sometimes scheduling a meeting, mm-hmm. you know, becomes a mess.
Sure.
Hard if you talk about it, you know, you could be accused of having violated the sunshine law or not given sufficient mm-hmm. notice. You know, so the rules are pretty clear.
Yeah.
You know, and we err on the side of, you know, trying to keep you guys out of the limelight and out of trouble and out of the ethics board. No member of my firm has ever even had an inquiry, you know, of the ethics board. That's not really remarkable, but we're proud of that.
Okay, great. Last two questions are super easy. what is your normal turnaround time for returning calls and emails, questions, things of that nature?
I mean, whatever I say is sort of, you're going to make your decision on what it's been in the past. I mean,
yeah.
in the recent past, because mm-hmm. you're both, you know, new to the board. Yeah, same day. I mean, I'd like not to, but, you know, I texted my supervisors and managers and assistant managers, you know, at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're pretty available, you know, all the time.
Okay.
I believe all of you have my cell phone number. If you don't, you're welcome to it. Texting is pretty efficient.
Yeah.
You know, and emails we respond to. Okay. I can respond to Mr. Potosa back there, you know, when he emails me. I think I'll be pretty quick.
Very quick.
You know, I'm out of fun. You know, if it's township business, you know, it's kind of a priority.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then how long is your commute to Upper Frederick Township, and do you charge for your travel time?
It's a little more than, you know, 15 minutes from our office. Mm-hmm. We're in Pottstown, but I think customarily we bill for 15 minutes, you know.
For travel?
Yep. Okay. A quarter of an hour, you know, each way. And we do charge for it, you know, we more or less always have, you know, we work, you know, by the hour. You know, if you came to my office, I wouldn't charge you. Generally speaking, you know, you have us come out here.
Yeah.
It's time.
Okay.
Wouldn't be a deal breaker, but we think that's fair. It's less time than we actually spend.
Yeah. Okay.
We charge you all. I don't know if anyone else would have mentioned it there. You guys are aware that most municipal solicitors charge substantially less, you know, for the municipal work than they do elsewhere. Right? But usually my hourly rate is $300 at a minimum. For some matters, it's more, $350.
Right.
You know, we believe presently we bill you guys at $165.
Right. Yeah.
About half, you know, of the
yeah, average. We did see that with the proposals. That.
So when it comes to travel, you know, we charge a little bit for travel.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
And you also have us out here late at night sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
extra meetings this year. Anything else, Bill?
No.
No?
No, it's
you're
the benefit
good?
Of knowing Ken.
Yeah.
Great.
I was going to say just that, yeah, we have a member of my firm has represented the township for 49 years. In and of itself, that might be a reason to go, hey, we should look elsewhere. But I learned, you know, from those people, Dave Albach, of course, and other, everyone else in my office has been a municipal solicitor. I think the odd people that have moved out here, because over the 49 years, it was been the philosophy of the board, members of the board, you know, to keep development, you know, as suppressed, you know, as can legally be done. And you're now enjoying the benefits of that. But there are pressures, you know.
Right.
There's, you know, a corridor that's for development. Upper Frederick is, you know, creeping out this way. That New Hanover Township is, you know, coming this way. And there are pressures and, you know, so forth. But, you know, our record sort of speaks for itself. And,
yeah.
You know, that's... Our thinking is aligned with how you guys think.
Yeah. Great.
But I can't sit here and go, you know, we'll do everything possible to make sure there's no development, you know, because
yeah.
The next thing you know,
yeah, it's fine. Like you said, there's pressures.
Right.
So where do you stand on that?
Okay.
Thinking, Ed, Rich, I
well, I think we are.
Yeah, sorry.
I just want to say, this is my second career, and I spent my first 30-plus years on the applicant side, dealing with a lot of municipalities, so...
When you say applicant, you mean developers.
Developers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, developers. Yeah, applying to the municipality to do something. And my philosophy has always been that is the most important thing is to have an honest dialogue. And from the municipal perspective, when I see an applicant... Tell me exactly what you need. Don't hide behind something and don't say one thing and do another. We won't get along very well if that's how you're approaching the development that you want to do. So lay it all out on the table, and we'll lay it all out on the table. And somewhere there's going to be some overlap, and there's also going to be some need for adjustment on their side. You know, so you know, if they're unwilling to hear what the township wants, then that's not going to go so good for them.
Yeah.
So you know, that's that open dialogue is something that I have believed in for my entire career, and it applies on both sides, whether I'm representing an applicant or whether I'm representing a municipality, and that's just my philosophy. So I wanted you guys to know that, and I also want to emphasize what Ken said as far as dialogue with the public that attends meetings. First of all, hats off to you for being here. My daughter used to come to public meetings for years. So there's townships in Berks and Montgomery County that asked me about my daughter, who's now 28, because I used to drag her to meetings. But the hearing from the public is important. I know there are some townships that put really strict and rigid controls on it. And I think that adhering to that rigidity is not necessarily a good thing. There's times when you need to limit discussion. But you're here to hear what they have to say, and they're here to tell you what they have to say. So that open dialogue, I think, is something really good. And I just want to echo what Ken
said. Just to expound on what he said, our law firm does not represent developers.
Right.
So that we rarely have conflicts, of interest in any way. But with Rich and our firm, we now have the benefit of how developers, you know, approach projects, and you know. He's been quiet about it, but I mean, he knows an awful lot about, you know, stormwater and development and environmental issues, things like that. I mean, he's got 30-ish years
almost
of history, you know, doing that kind of work. So brings, you know, information to the table, you know, that'll be helpful, I think, to township.
Right. Great. Okay. Well, I think we are done with that then, and I will turn it back over to Bill. We are done the interviews.
Okay, so we're concluding with Ken, but I'll bring it back to everybody here. Do we have any public comment for anything?
No, not right now.
This is going to be your last chance for this evening, anyway.
Yeah, just this.
Yeah, we're not going to revisit anything. It's
well, the thing is with Ken and Bill in the room, it's. You know, we may want to say things without what we heard from
you. Oh,
that's
oh,
what
I
I'm saying.
We weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
We weren't going to do that.
Oh, okay.
What we were going to do is just public comment. Anything else, township-wise, you guys want to put out there? 1, 2, 3, no.
Okay.
So with that, Ken and Rich, you guys are good. Announcements, we just have the suggestion box for Community Day and other community events. Ready Monco, make sure you guys sign up for that. And they're still looking for volunteers for Community Day and for the Swamp Creek Stomp. So if you guys know anybody that wants to come out and volunteer, we should do that. Put up great causes. And what I'm going to do is adjourn this meeting, and Ken, so I'm going to adjourn this meeting to go to an executive session for personnel matters.
Yes.
Now, is this adjournment final, or are we going to come back to this here? How are we going to...
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I had given it just a teeny bit of thought, but I think the way the agenda is done, there wouldn't be any coming back.
Okay.
And I don't expect, even tonight, especially without your third member, that you'll want to make a decision on any of the personnel matters.
Sure.
So your next meeting is when you could call a special meeting. Like if after the personnel session, you decide, we should do this or do that. You'll have to do that at a public meeting.
Okay.
That would also be your opportunity, I guess, to talk, because they're going to decide on a solicitor at their next public meeting.
Right.
And that'll be a little awkward, like whether I would be here or not here. But we'll work through that somehow.
Yeah.
To give people should have an opportunity to say if acting on a personnel matter had to be done next week, I would suggest you call a special meeting. If it can wait a week, when is the next workshop? That's April 2nd.
I think it's the third.
So it's 2 weeks from now.
Too far away.
April 3rd. Sorry, yeah. Okay. Change calendar.
But I kind of go through all that to say, if it were on the agenda to take some action tonight, you could recess, this public meeting,
come back,
ask everybody to leave, do an executive session, and then come back and take some official action. But that's not how this is set up.
Right.
I don't know that you'd be prepared to do that tonight anyway.
No.
And if 2 weeks is soon enough, then that's when you'll do, if you're going to do
right. And we can decide meeting. That after this week.
Yep.
Email.
Right.
All right. So I'm gonna make a motion to adjourn this meeting, and the board's going to go into an executive session just for personnel matters. All right?
Thank you.
All right. You only got to go.
Oh, I'm supposed to second that.
Yes.
I second that.
So, technically, here we go.